Most people are familiar with compound interest, also known as the eighth wonder of the world. And even though people know about this, they still don't really apply this to themselves or any phenomenon close to them.
Welcome to Future Skills, where we prepare you for a future of accelerating change. I'm Ludvig Sundström.
And I'm Mikael Syding.
Everyone who has read economics, they know about scale effects, like economies of scale or economies of scope. But a lot of people don't know about the scale effects of experience and learning. And today, we're going to talk about the experience curve, which says that things become cheaper and more effective over time as you get better at it. This is originally a concept from management consulting, invented by Bruce Henderson, the man who founded Boston Consulting Group.
And the reason the experience curve is important is that it's a general principle that applies to you as an individual as well. And you can use this to plan ahead better in your own career. So, how does the experience curve work? The more you know, and the more concentrated practice and experience and systems you have in a narrow field of expertise, the higher the effect. The more accumulated experience you have, the more you can produce per unit of effort.
The reason this is important is because it applies to you as a general principle as an individual, meaning that if you can make some sort of educated guess about how fast you will improve and learn something, like specializing in a field or becoming better at a career, then you can make a better projection of the future and then you can plan your career better.
I think a failure to recognize this effect might make some people give up because they think they are progressing too slowly, or the company they are working at or investing in is progressing too slowly. And that might be because you just see the first few years or the first few data points of progress, and maybe you don't recognize the exponential effect yet.
Yeah, I think you can draw two kinds of parallels, which is that consider someone who's just getting started. Maybe, you know, it could just be something as simple as going to the gym and lifting weights or exercising or some hobby. And then the first year you're going to pretty much suck at it. But then if you look at someone who's been doing it with concentrated effort for like 5 or 10 years, who is kind of almost an expert, that person is going to do it effortlessly and really, really well. And they're not even trying. But you have to try really hard to just make the least amount of progress. You have to put in a lot of effort. And so that's not a fair comparison. But the reason that person is so much better than you is because it's not a linear process, it's an exponential process. And you can also look at companies. For example, companies that have been in a field where it's going well and they've been going at it for like more than 10 years, then that company is going to be so specialized in what they're doing and doing it so well that they're going to do it, I don't know how many times better, but many, many, many times better than someone who's a new entrant or who has just done it in the first 1 or 2 years and they don't have the processes in place and the experience and they haven't trained the people, all these different things. And all of that is part of this experience curve.
Yeah. And I think most people are familiar with compound interest, also known as the eighth wonder of the world. Even though people know about this and they know about famous investors who struggled for the first 10 years, or maybe not struggled, but you couldn't really see their progress over the first 10 years, then became billionaires over the next 30. Many are aware of this, but they still don't really apply this to themselves or anything, any phenomenon close to them. Maybe we should try to quantify this, because even if people know of the effect and know of the phenomena, they don't really know how big an effect it is.
Yeah, so let's take a quote from Bruce Henderson, who was the one who came up with this effect. And he said that, I quote, "Unit costs characteristically decline by 20 to 30% in real terms each time accumulated experience doubles."
So, for example, a car manufacturer that has produced 10,000 cars has 20% less costs per unit than one that has produced half as many cars. And then this goes on and on for every doubling of total produced units, they get 20% more effective per doubling.
And if we take the example of, for example, I was going to say Harrison Ford, but what's his name again? Ford.
Henry Ford.
Henry Ford, yeah. Yeah. If you take the example of Henry Ford and his car factories, that's an example of, you know, economies of scale and scope. But it's not necessarily what you think about in terms of experience curve, but that's also experience curve part of it. But you never learned that in school. useful.
Maybe we should clarify some of the terms here, because we talk about the experience curve, which really is just one minus the experience effect. For example, NASA, they have published research on their own various industries and what kind of experience curves they have seen there. They have published research on around 10, I think, sub-industries within their own field, and their experience curves are between 75 and 96%. So that means you get 4 to 25% less costs per unit produced, per doubling of production, per doubling of experience.
And this is in really technologically intense areas that are hard to learn, so that it's difficult for people to learn them or for companies to master these processes. But then once they do it and they get into the habit of doing it, and not only get into the habit of doing it, but also get into a feedback loop where they're improving upon it incrementally over time, then it becomes much, much cheaper as they specialize in this thing and also innovate and come up with new ideas for improving the whole thing. So that's basically an effect of the experience curve. I think another example when it comes to you as an individual is that the question you should ask yourself is, how strong is the experience curve for this industry or this activity? And for this, I'm really talking about your career. Like we were saying before, you don't want to think in a linear manner. You shouldn't just become a little bit better every year. Maybe you should become a little bit better every year, because you're always comparing yourself to yourself in kind of the moment. But over the long period of time, you should become 10 times better, not 1.5 times better.
Yeah, I think that's an important point to remember. And maybe, actually, if you don't get exponentially better, if you can't see that after 5 or 10 years, you're probably doing something wrong, or you're leaving a lot on the table, and you should use some of the ideas that we will get to in detail soon to identify the weakest link. Where is it that your exponential progress is hindered?
Yeah, probably the most likely thing is that you don't have talent for it.
Or interest. I know we have talked about this before. It's a fine line between interest and talent.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to the actual research. So Henderson himself, he just estimated an effect, an experience effect of 20 to 30%. And then NASA between 4 and 25%. But then after Henderson said what he said, his firm that he founded, the Boston Consulting Group, they have made extensive research over the years. And they have found between 10 to 25% effects. On the one hand, it's important to recognize that this exponential learning effect exists. But on the other hand, I think it's also important to realize that there might be some kind of a ceiling to what an organization or an individual can produce. It's almost like a mental border that makes it difficult for us to progress faster than this.
Right. So I guess you could look at that in two different ways. One would be that you've become so much better that it's hard to improve almost at all by doing the same thing. And then the other, I guess, is, bottleneck theory, where it's something in the business that's wrong.
Yeah, there always seem to be some kind of a weak link that limits this effect to a certain point. So I think what I'm trying to say is that on the optimistic side, there is tremendous potential in this. But on the pessimistic side, there isn't unlimited potential. There is some kind of a ceiling to how fast you can progress per year and how much you can expect from your company or your coworkers or economic growth in general. I think there is a reason why, for example, the economy and GDP rarely grows faster.
Mm. But then on the other hand side, if you want to delve down into that, if you do look at the growth in the economy, it's usually only from a few things. And those are the things that are growing really fast, that are the exception. So it's a very tricky thing, I think. And it's like the economy and the capitalistic system in general is built around having a lot of failures, but having a few things that work really well and grow really fast.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. All right, should we get a little bit more into detail about the reasons people speculate about for why this effect exists? So one thing has to do with the actual workers. they get more dexterous as their experience increases. They get, for example, they get more confident when doing whatever they do. So they don't hesitate, they don't make errors, they don't have to second guess themselves. So this increased confidence means they can actually spend more effective time on doing what they're doing. And they also come up with shortcuts that management never thought about or even could have planned ahead for, because those shortcuts are minute and something that only the experienced worker can identify while at work. It has to be real time. So some of the improvements come from the workers themselves.
About the confidence thing, I think you can draw an interesting parallel to army training, because there, you know, they have so, and martial arts too, you have so much drilling of exercises. You just do it and do it and do it over and over until it becomes almost automatic and you stop being confused about it. It just becomes second nature.
Yeah, there is, people say something about falling back to the level of training or falling back to the lowest level of training, something like that. So when you panic, you want to have a very high lowest bar. Another reason for this effect is increased both standardization and specialization. So the standardization, it takes into account streamlining what products you use, what tools you use, maybe using fewer and fewer, thinking in terms of platforms rather than bespoke items.
Yeah, and I remember when we talked to Sebastian Marshall and we talked about a lot of different, everything from different tools in normal life to programs and software, and just everything that can make life better and easier. And we all had that in common, that we're all experimenting a lot, you, me, and him, but also trying to narrow it down to a few things that work. And I think that's a good example of that.
And related to standardization, you also have specialization. Because when you standardize, it's also, well, they're not completely related, but specialization also means that the right person does the right thing. And this is something that you learn with experience, who should do what within an organization.
Yeah, and if you have a team, one of the most important things to consider is the task division, that everyone does what they're best at. And that's easy to talk about in theory, but always harder to do in practice. Because just because someone is good at it doesn't necessarily mean that they will like doing it.
Exactly. And teams, various teams specializing in their specific task. So it exists on all levels. All right, moving on to number three, it's increased automation, which is actually something different from the other ones. And it can be the use of information technology or robots, technology in general. One reason is the directed use of technology, where you know exactly what you want to achieve and you do it. But another one is workers and the company familiarizing with the technology and becoming more confident and familiar with the actual tools.
Yeah, and that goes back to the training again. It's like a feedback loop where you have these different things. You get better resources or tools, you get better at using them, and you have more competent training procedures.
Many of these may sound alike, but I think it's important to try to break them apart and look at them individually.
Yeah, and if you look at the economy, what is the economy? What is the purpose of economy in general? It is, like you're saying, to use scarce resources more effectively. And therefore, there's kind of a natural skew towards experience curve and specialization. We could really go on. There are many of these different things that in combination are reasons for this experience curve effect. Different ways that you learn to become better at what you do. And it becomes sort of an unconscious process over time. But the point is that it exists, and it exists in almost every area of life, and both for businesses and organizations and for individuals. So the point is that you should, when you're making future projections and you're planning ahead in your life, you should assume that you're going to become a lot better, not just linearly better. So let's talk about how to make use of this idea specifically in three different ways: investing, work, and improvement.
Yeah, so in regards of investing, when you do your research for a company, on the one hand, you should imagine how good things can get if you take into account the learning curve. And on the other hand, you should also put some kind of a limit to how much you can actually expect. So if the If a certain company has too high goals, then you could question that as well. But I think most people are too negative when they research companies. Mm-hmm. And it's because we tend to have a linear thinking.
Oh, yeah, right. Especially when it comes to these new kinds of investments where you have global technology and network effects and all that stuff.
Then moving on to work. So here it's a question of where you want to work. And when you choose your workplace, you would want to identify an industry or a company where you can see that they consciously make use of this effect.
I don't think that's too common.
I mean, we have talked before that you should choose an industry that's growing quickly.
Right.
This is just another way of another more granular way of thinking about it.
Yeah, because so, if it is growing fast, then you're going to have more feedback.
You also want to know whether the growth is sustainable or not. So if it's a company that just happens to grow quickly because the market grows quickly, then that might not be quite as good as a company or an industry that's growing quickly because they consciously make use of the learning curve.
Mm. Yeah, so one example of what you're saying could be if you go into a new industry, which is kind of like a future industry that's growing fast and it's been doing it for several years in a row, and you're reasonably sure that it's going to keep doing that, then if you compare that industry to an old established industry that you're going to be trained for in school, like some old car company or something, then the learning curve is going to be much faster in the new industry.
Yes, and that's both a threat and an opportunity because your competitors will also be using the learning curve.
But at least you would be learning faster.
Yeah. And finally, something that I mentioned early on in this episode, general improvement. If your progress in any area of life, if you're not improving as fast as this episode implies you should, then you should start trying to focus on the lowest hanging fruit of improvement in terms of this. Is it that you're not learning enough, or is it that you're not exposing yourself to enough practice, or is there something, some other part of this this effect that you're not utilizing to its fullest? And if there is, well, a typical thing for a human being is to do what we like, but sometimes it's more effective to try to find, I mean, if you do what you like all the time, then you may have already exhausted the effects there. So maybe you should try to see if there is a weaker link in the chain that you can improve more.
Right, I got it. So let's do a summary of everything. And the summary is that, first of all, the experience curve is a general principle that is at play when you specialize in some sort of activity or field of work. And when you know about this, as you do now, you can make better future projections, plan ahead better, because you'll know that your progress is, or should at least, not be linear. It should be exponential. And if you're going to stay in this field, assume that your improvement is going to be faster over many years. You're going to be 10 times better in 5 or 10 years, not just 1 or 2 times better. And finally, you should make some sort of educated guess about what the learning curve, what the effect, the experience curve effect would be for this industry.
That's all for today. Thank you, Alexander Martin, our sound guy. And this is Carl Mikael Syding.
This is Ludvig Sundström.
For Future Skills.
And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter where we send out weekly summaries. You can check it out at www.futureskillspodcast.com.